reading this morning is from Philippians. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance of a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or argument, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labour in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from you, so you too should be glad and rejoice.
Thank you, Brian, for reading the Word of God. I don't know about you, but we live in that sort of society at the moment that's a little bit, the words that were read there, a crooked and perverse generation. And it seems to me that whichever way you look, there's corruption, there's perverse, perverted behaviour. You can't seem to trust anybody, certainly those that appear that you voted in to be your government, and you can't trust them. And you look around and you think that's a bit of a pickle, really, isn't it? Everywhere you look, it seems to be corrupted. Not just in this country, but across the world, really, isn't it? And all the violence that's going on, the attitudes that are going on amongst everybody else. And here we read that we need to be like stars that shine in a perverse, corrupt world. There's a challenge for you, little peoples. There, do you shine like little stars? Thank you, my dad. But do you shine? And how do you shine if we do shine? How do you expect to shine? Well, Paul is writing here about having the same mind as Christ. The same mind as Christ. Imagine you have the same mind as Christ. Then you're thinking to yourself, no, you haven't. And I think to myself, no, I haven't. But the call is that we should have. Isn't that incredible? We should be growing more and more like Jesus day by day as we come closer and closer to him each and every day. And we should have the same mind as Christ. I've just been on holiday. Judith and I have just been on holiday. We had a lovely time. Very windy. You know, it's fun. But it meant that I had to think a little bit more about this morning and reading this letter from Philippians, from Paul to the Philippians, a little bit before I went on holiday. But one of the little notes I made here is that standing here, as I'm going to be talking about this section of the letter, it's sort of a little bit tricky, because you called me to speak, to be a preacher on the Word of God, and that comes with a degree of authority. Did you realize that? By allowing that you've called me to speak, you automatically give me a little bit of authority. Did you know that? Yeah, you may regret it, but but the problem is, this letter, this part of the letter, this chapter 2, as we've got it, is saying you've got to do that in humility. And that's a contradiction in terms, isn't it? Here am I telling you, this is the Word of God, walk in it, and I'm going to do that humbly. So I did have that sort of thought, and it's tricky. So I hope I can get the balance a little bit right, because I hope it is the Word of God rather than me. Because it's talking to me as well as I've read this passage again and again. What is it saying? What is it saying to me? How to live with the mind of Christ? Because if I love Jesus and I acknowledge who Jesus is, and in many ways I think that I'm not aware of who didn't take communion this morning. I'm not asking you to put your hand up if you didn't take communion. But if you didn't take communion, then in one sense I applaud you and say, well done. Because it means that, and you've decided that at this moment in time, you're either not right with God or you're not right with somebody else. So you've given some conscious thought. So well done you. But having taken communion and shared in the time of communion, we remember exactly what Jesus did. And as Brian read that passage from verse 5 through to 11, we read there about what Jesus is like. That he is God. He was from the beginning in the form of God, but he chose, under the direction of God the Father, to put that aside and to come humbly to be like you and me, to not hold on to the glory that he got in heaven with the Father. That he was there, as John in John's Gospel says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word is God, and the Word became flesh. And yet Jesus gave up all the glory of God to live in the form of you and me. With all our frailties and our difficulties and all the temptations, and he could have gone through and given that, not had that at all, but he didn't grasp hold of the glory of God. He let it go in humility. And he then came and took on the human form and went to the cross. And it's interesting, perhaps, to you, it is to me, that when Paul writes to the Philippians, he's very explicit when he says that Jesus humbled himself, became obedient even to the point of death, and even death on a cross. Now that would have hit home to the people of Philippi, because Philippi was a Roman colony. It had all the privileges of the Roman Empire. which meant that if you were guilty of whatever, you wouldn't be flogged and you wouldn't be killed on a cross. You would not have been crucified. If you were due for death, it would have been a quicker and shorter death than hanging on a cross as Jesus did. And so when Paul was writing and talking to the Philippians, they would have realized and understood the awfulness and the humility and the shame that would have been dealt with on the cross. And here Paul is saying, this is Jesus. This is your Lord and Savior. And yes, there will be a time when every tongue will confess, when every knee will bow and call him Lord. But people of Philippi, people of so green, you have a choice now. Are you now acknowledging that Jesus is Lord of your life so that you are able to confess his name above all other names and appeal to anybody? Confess that he is Lord and bow your knee in humble sacrifice and worship. Because if you do that now, as opposed to all of those that will do it anyway, they will be doing it under duress. And they will be doing it when they realize that they have made a complete hash of life. Because when they meet Jesus Christ, and they will have no option, but they will fall down before his glory. And they will then have to acknowledge that he is Lord. But they will do it in a way that they know that they haven't got the benefits and the help of eternal life with him. You know, it's like when you go into court. The only times I've been into court either as a juror or to give evidence of some sort or other. And of course, you have to sort of say to the judge, my lud, or words to that effect, or sir. You don't have to, you have to do it if you've been to court. Anybody been to court for any good reason as opposed to bad reasons? But you have to do that. And you sort of, and as a Christian, I sort of stood there and sort of said, can I call him Lord? It's tricky, isn't it? I don't know about you, just me, I'm a stranger, I know. But when we meet the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, are we saying, Lord, because we know him as our Lord and Savior, or we're out of fear and humiliation? But Paul writes to the Philippians and says, you need to acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior. This is our Lord. And you need to have the same mind as Christ. To have the same level of humility to walk in life today. A number of years ago, and they're probably still around, lots of people had the little bands around their wrists which had WWJD. Yeah, do you remember them? Did anybody have them? Oh, well done. Have you still got it?
Yes.
Oh, well done. What would Jesus do? It's one of those strange things, isn't it? Because in the situations that we find ourselves in, it's extremely difficult, I think, to know exactly what would Jesus do. But it gives you the principle that if you've got the mind of Christ and you're walking with Christ as your Lord and Savior, then part of that, prompted by the Holy Spirit within, we should have an attitude of love, compassion towards anybody and everybody. It doesn't mean that we don't know what we think and believe is right and true, but it does talk about how we respect other people and how we should treat other people. Sharing in the Spirit, knowing the love of Christ, being those stars and light in the world around us, being different to what other people are like, to do His good and perfect will. We don't work to gain our salvation, but we do need to work because of our salvation, to love and to care for other people. It involves being different in many ways. So often, people are obsessed with getting things for themselves, or being at the top of the tree, gaining, you know, climbing the ladder of careers. No, I'm not saying about ambition. That's a different thing. But I think it's good to have an ambition to do better or to be better. But so often people go along not to have that ambition, but to stand on people on the way up. Yeah? See how far I can get. Can I get to being the chief executive of this, that, or wherever? But to do it by standing on people as they go up. And the Word of God is saying, no, that's the wrong way. Don't take advantage of other people. Don't be obsessed with getting to the top. Be humble in your approach. Think about other people more than you think about yourselves. Not look to your own interests, but to look to the interests and well-being of other people. And so we see that Jesus is Lord, that He humbled Himself above everything else. He became a servant. He explained that and He showed that at the Last Supper, when in John's Gospel we read that He washed the feet of His disciples and those in the fellowship there. As I've been an example to you, He said, do it to other people. Be a servant, caring for other people, not lording it over. He humbled Himself, so should we. And if we have the mind of Christ, then we will bring joy to God and pleasure to each other as well. Paul obviously loved the church and the people at Philippi. His letter to the Corinthians, of which we partly read when we thought about communion, was trying to put them in order. Tell them where they were going wrong and what they were doing that wasn't quite as it should be. Whereas he writes to the people of Philippi with praise and with help to say, you are doing a good job. You are doing all right. And if my joy can be complete, it's because your joy and your service is doing well. You're sharing in the love of God. He's encouraging each other and he's looking to each other to improve by having the mind of Christ. So again, I'm not going to say much more because I think the Word of God says it all. To make God pleased, have you got the mind of Christ? Are you humble before Him? Do you acknowledge now with a bow of the knee and a tongue of confession that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God? Do things, all things, without the murmuring and arguing, so that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, so that you may shine like stars and light in the world. May you do that, may I do that. Forgive me for not doing it as I should, promptly when I'm not. Have that little word, and I know that in different situations others will do it to each other. Be willing to say, hang on, Andrew, I'm not quite sure you're right on that. Did you really say that? Did you really mean that? or whatever it might be. And do it, share it amongst each other. You're sharing in the glory of, or the death of Christ, sharing his glory by living with the same mind as Christ. And may you be blessed. May we all be blessed because we know Jesus is Lord.